Well, it is that time for a fishing report. Leaf is in here. How you doing, Leaf?
Not too shabby. How you doing?
Good. Yep. Yeah, not as bad as people think.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we ended up last fishing report was in the air, up in the air a little bit. You had a fish that...
it was a cliffhanger.
You were courting... Yeah, we had a cliffhanger. Yeah. How'd that go? What happened?
Holy cow. Yeah? I was after that fish for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
It was on the fifth and finally final opportunity that I had on that fish. It was the second to the last day of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say it's closing down, up on you.
So, you know, I'd been thwarted on my first attempt. I kind of just pulled that bug out of his mouth. On the second and third attempt, made the same mistake of trying to kind of twitch that bug and I think too still a water and kind of showed my hand and he came up and sniffed it and then just left it.
He really made you refine your technique delivery, didn't he?
Yeah. And so what the fourth time just dead drifted it past this fish and just exploded on it and lost it due to a small fighting error when I tripped trying to change position in the stream.
Yeah.
Just even a little bit, didn't even fall all the way in. He just felt a little movement, bolted, shook his head and was off. And then finally, on this fifth time, it had been almost a month since I tried for him, but I felt the clock ticking away. So ran up there, and, you know, he was in a different portion of the hole. And so I was kind of fishing for a while and changed positions and, man, brought that fish up first cast in a different portion of the hole with my October caddis dry. Big old slurp, super awesome fight. I mean, it took probably... almost 10 minutes to get that guy into the net. Measured him out, 23-inch fish. You know, I think I've caught ones that are a little bit longer, but not this robust and definitely not so handsome.
Yeah.
This guy was huge. Well, I nicknamed him Captain Awesome Pants, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering. I mean, I knew he was going to earn a name if he didn't already.
Yep. It just popped right into my mind. I know it's pretty poetic.
So how big was he looming in your imagination before you got him in?
Oh, man. He was at least 26 inches in my brain.
That's what I thought.
But, you know, was not disappointed at all. When I put the tape to him, I was totally fine with it. He was definitely one of the biggest cutthroat that I've ever caught on this river.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a portion of the river where he didn't seem to get much activity, overloving or anything like that. Had no scars on his lips, just a real nice-looking fish. Looked like he maybe had a 1% or 2% steelhead in him, which could have lent to the size. It's hard to find a completely pure cutthroat on this stream. And once you get a little better at kind of seeing the notes of the other fish, then you'll start to notice this.
Well, that's interesting.
We're going to go ahead and call him one of the biggest cutthroat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't have a genetic analysis machine in my pocket.
Well, those are going to be coming out here, I think, next year, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that'll be part of your phone. That'll be an app.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, that was great. Finally get that deal sealed right at the last minute.
Was it Dr. Fancy Pants? Mr.
Captain.
Captain.
Captain Awesome Pants.
Awesome Pants.
Yes. Not fancy. He's rugged. Rugged.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and then just kind of been switching gears, thinking about still water. Had the opportunity to take my friend Andy Johnson up to one of my friend's private lakes, of my private stashes. And holy cow, we got him situated in the boat there with my buddy Jesse Davis, and we just cruised around that lake, got into multiple lunkers. He managed to get one of them all the way to the net, and we just had a good time out there, talking like a bunch of guys, telling dirty jokes, and just kind of having fun.
Well, some people may not know Andy spends most of his time in a wheelchair, so you traded that for the boat and
absolutely.
Had a great time.
I figured, man, if you can sit in that thing, you can sit in my boat, and we're going to get out and slay it. And I'm looking forward to hopefully doing that a lot more with him. I knew Andy before his accident and now since, and he's just always been such a nice guy, positive guy. It's the I feel happy to put a smile on his face.
That's
fishing,
a good story.
Sure.
That's a good story.
And you know, then you know, just kind of looking around. I've been looking for other openers on other rivers. Noticed the Cascade and Skagit opened for silvers and steelhead. So Thomas and I ran over there. You know, the Skagit is kind of a very large river. I kicked myself for not taking my boat over there, but I kind of, you know, it's about an hour and 45, almost 2 hours just to drive there. So You kind of want to be doing multiple days if you're taking a boat. So most of the time it keeps me just to the Cascade. It's a cool little river. It's like the size of the Twisp, except it has some deeper buckets and it has a lot of log jams, which cost Thomas and I a lot of money. But, you know, we probably both lost 50, 60 bucks worth of bugs. But, you know, we got into a lot of fish, especially Thomas. He had the hot rod going.
Cool.
But boy, a lot of fishermen, you know, one of those experiences.
Well, I was going to ask, that's the other thing about fishing over there. You got a lot of other folks out.
Yeah, it makes you appreciate coming home.
Amen.
For sure. You know, I mean, we definitely have a great thing here. But, you know, I just have been thinking, I want to encourage people to do, you know, kind of what I've been feeling fortunate to be able to do in just kind of stretching out and trying some different stuff this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been fishing steelhead since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah.
And I do love them, but it sure is kind of nice. I'm looking at this as an opportunity to go check out all these other great things that we have, you know, to the east of us. I know people from the west of us kind of tend to stop about here, but, you know, maybe you should check out some of this other stuff in the Okanagan and Aeneas Valleys, the Kettle River area.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's some great lakes, small streams, and just world-class fishing there. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on this
fall. Yeah, and actually, you've been talking about that the last couple of years, getting over there more, and you are getting over some.
Yeah, I want to really kind of familiarize myself with the others, like the Kettle and stuff. Some of these... some of these small ones like the Kettle and Colville and the Sandpoil, they kind of are like small microcosms of river and ocean. It's like they treat Lake Roosevelt like the ocean, those fish. And so you'll have large, what used to probably be steelhead, which are kind of stuck behind that dam now, become lacustrine steelhead essentially. And treat that lake like the ocean and then still go up into those small creeks and rivers to overwinter and spawn and then swim out in the spring. And then you also have brown trout that have, you know, been there for a long time, long enough to establish runs in those smaller rivers too. And so they'll be up there spawning in the fall. And,
interesting.
You know, you can get into some huge brownies, which most people don't associate with Washington.
Well, that'll be interesting for you to get to know some other waters like that, because like you said, they're odd. I mean, you never know what to think about a situation that's been made by a man-made dam.
Yeah.
You know, since World War II, say, you know, it's not exactly the kind of Mother Nature we yearn for, but still the fish are awesome.
And it's cool to see those remnants, still holding on. You know, like I say, those aren't, a lot of cases aren't rainbow trout. They're true red band trout. So nature's still trying to kind of adjust and do her thing. And so I enjoy seeing that. There's, you know, cool parts about the Kettle too. You know, that thing goes in and out of Washington. It goes south to north. You know, it does all kinds of weird stuff that a lot of rivers don't here. It's also got weird laws, like pre-state kind of crown law style stuff.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it essentially enables people to own the stream bottom. So you actually cannot drop your anchor on their stream bottom. You cannot put your feet on it. You can float on the water because they don't own the water.
Yeah.
But you can't touch the bottom, right?
Interesting.
So kind of weird stuff like that, that you definitely can't just willy-nilly go over there and think you're going to have as easy a time as you can on the Methow in some cases. So that's why I'm kind of spending the time kind of trying to do some recon. And, you know, I know it's great fishing, but I also know it's got some loopholes to it that you got to jump through.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it makes you love the Methow. I don't know if I told you about that airplane ride I took up to the headwaters here a couple of weeks ago.
Were you included on that plane ride?
Yeah,
I saw the pictures.
Yeah, and one of the things, I mean, just one of the statements that came out, Scott was with us, and he was going, you know, this is the only part of the Columbia drainage that doesn't have a dam on it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, we live on something that's pretty darn close to the way it's supposed to be. I know there's been a lot of work done in the water, you know, clearing out log jams, but they're being reintroduced, and it's getting a much more natural flow to it. And that's special.
Yeah, I'm thankful that we, you know, our dams below us allow our fish to still come back from the ocean.
Yeah.
And I've heard of talk of retrofitting Chief Joe and Grand Coulee and, you know, in upcoming decades, which I'm hopeful for.
Hey, man, I you know, regardless of how you stand on dams, taking them in, taking them out, you know, how could we do without all that electric power, et cetera? I think if you're going to spend money to go to Mars, why not spend it on fish ladders first?
Oh, man, not to mention bombs and stuff. I mean, I don't want to get too far off in left field there, but until we stop blowing stuff up, spending money on science is not wasted money. So just any science money.
Yeah, it's good. I agree. All science money is fine.
You know, call me biased if you want, but I just don't. I think it's better than
you're biased
than military spending.
Okay. Okay.
Oh. Too far.
The fish report is going sideways.
Let's
here.
Make America fish again.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Hey, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, just figure out what's going on, book some trips, get some tips, check out flyfishersproshop.com for the blog, the podcast, and you can always email me at metoutfishingadventures@gmail.com or give me a call at 509-429-7298. I want to remind everybody it's National Down Syndrome Awareness Month. From my beautiful boy, Leo, with Trisomy 21, one of the forms of Down syndrome. He's an awesome gem in my life, and just like so many others, we love our kids, and big ups to those with the Downs and those that care for them. And hey, take care of each other. Get that fish right on.
Right on. Gonna fish it. Mama gonna fish it. Baby gonna fish it too.